Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Joining me at our AACC 2025 United World Conference is Dr. Jesse Gill. Dr. Gill is a renowned psychologist with more than two decades of experience at Psychological Health Affiliates in Pennsylvania. He specializes in working with children ages 4 through the teen years, addressing issues such as obsessive-compulsive disorder, ADHD, depression, anxiety, and Tourette's disorder. He also works extensively with adults, helping them navigate challenges like anxiety, depression, relational conflict, and anger management. Today, we're diving into attachment theory and attachment styles, something I thoroughly enjoy and actually spent a lot of time studying during my doctoral program and dissertation. I think it's important to recognize that it's likely that each of us desires a healthy relationship with Christ and others. But in this day and age, with the pain, the pace, and the pressure of everyday life, we have to be intentional about that connection. I believe we can all experience true rest and flourishing when we trust in the Lord and keep His grace and comfort at the center of our daily lives. That's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Dr. Gill, my friend, it's a privilege to have you with us. It's great to see you.
It's great to be with you, Zach.
I'm really looking forward to the time because clearly we've been here the last several days in Nashville, Tennessee, the Gaylord Opryland Hotel, packed out, sold out crowd, 7,000 people, helpers coming from all over the states, all 50 states represented, 30 countries. This place is crazy. The energy in here is swelling. I believe that relationships matter, and I know that's at the heart of your work is attachment. Why do you think a gathering of this size is important, not just of the size and the numbers, but really of the personal connections and networking opportunities here, especially in the midst of a divided and chaotic culture we find ourselves in?
I think about how God calls us to community, God calls us to connection, and being in His presence is the most important thing of all, Zach. For everything that we're going through, first and foremost, fundamentally, to know that He is with us, that we're not alone, then to be here in Nashville with our brothers and sisters surrounding us from every tribe and every nation and every state, and to worship the Lord together, but also to receive an infusion of hope and an encouragement, because these are difficult times. And I love the AACC. I come here every time to receive some encouragement. It's like a shot of hope in the arm, try to pick up some practical tools as well, and connect with dear friends. So, you know, we can get weary in the trenches day to day. We are people helpers. We carry heavy burdens. And so one of the most important things is to resource ourselves and to be connected for the journey ahead.
It goes back to biblical times.
That's right.
Old Testament, it's
right.
The state of shalom.
That's right.
Wholeness.
That's right.
Unity.
That's right.
Being together, right? And then it's this idea of in the New Testament, makairos or blessedness, this idea of the abundant life from John 10:10.
That's right.
I'd
That's
love
right.
for you to kind of unpack a little bit. You have a new book called Green Zone.
Yes.
Being able to unpack attachment and human flourishing and how those things coincide.
That's
if you will, what's at the heart of the book and what do you think God really did create us for?
Yeah, so creation, we go right back to Genesis, and you think about it that Adam was the first created being and he's there, he's fellowshipping with God, unbroken fellowship. And I like to talk about the peace, presence, and provision that was just, you know, surrounding him. And that was good, but one thing was not good. It was not good for him to be alone. So even before sin entered into the world, even before death entered into the world, God provided Eve, God provided attachment, the first recorded attachment relationship to meet that fundamental need that we all have to not be alone. Mm-hmm. And so then this was very good, right? Yes. And he was complete, Eve was complete. She wasn't just a helpmate. Zach. She was literally a lifeline. The Hebrew word ezer kenegdo means lifeline, like lifesaver. So even before he was facing death and dying, God said attachment, connection is the lifeline. So we're looking back at that first couple chapters as the original, the epitome of flourishing, you know, in God's presence, abundance all around, no scarcity, and attachment was right at the core, right at the heart, that connectedness from the very beginning.
We talked a little bit in a phone call that we had several weeks back, which let me tell you, I was taking pages of notes as you were unpacking this book,
fun.
And I loved it. So much wisdom, so much knowledge, so much experience pouring out of you, but you talked a lot about how sin shatters shalom.
Yeah.
And it brings a lot of scarcity to the conversation here. And it robs us of
That's
the
right.
very thing that God created us for. Speak
That's
to that if you would.
Yeah, you go right back to Genesis. Like because the humans chose to walk away from God's provision, you know, being tempted by Satan, that there could be something else, there could be something more, literally taking matters into our own hands. That's like the fundamental sin, is when we don't trust and depend upon God for our attachment security, for our basic needs. And then that was when sin first entered into the world. This cataclysmic thing happened, Zach. So first of all, we were separated from God's peace, presence, and provision, you know, which is the whole reason Jesus had to come later. But the other thing that happened is that death entered into the world. So for the first time ever, we had to worry about, am I going to survive? Am I going to make it? And so sin was the very first separation from shalom. Sin brought death into the world. And I believe, sort of neurophysiologically speaking, that sin literally created the need for the fight flight and the freeze portions of the human mind, which they're in this fallen world.
Yes.
Those are a gift to us, but they are not a place that we want to hang out. And if we hang out in fight flight or freeze for any length of time, we are no longer flourishing. We are languishing.
Exactly. And I want you to go there and take us, because obviously the book is titled The Green Zone, but you're mentioning now the red zone and the blue zone, as you would identify them. I'd love for you to kind of give us a better understanding that fight or flight, that freeze spaces, and help us recognize, maybe if we have a better understanding, we might be able to see where we're at, so that way we can hopefully have a goal of where we want to get to. Red zone and blue zone, sir.
Yeah. So for survival purposes, if you think about, like, suppose you were on a walk in your neighborhood and an angry attack dog was coming after you. Yeah. In a split second, your body would mobilize into the fight or flight response. Blood flow, oxygenating, you know, the major muscle groups, sweat's pouring out, your digestion stops, and your brain gets this tunnel vision thing, which is really helpful if there's a rabid dog coming at you. You know, you don't want to be noticing the artwork on your neighbor's mailbox, right? You want to be like getting away, beat the retreat, or if you feel confident, fight the dog. So that's the fight or flight response. And it's helpful in that moment, right?
Yeah.
If you can't fight, if you can't flee and get away from that rabid dog, then the next thing further down the line, literally in the human brain. So we go from the midbrain fight or flight down to the brain stem for something that's called the blue zone. So that first part was the red zone, fight or flight. Yes. We go further down. If you can't fight or flee away, you go down into the blue zone, the freeze. So you could imagine, like, all of a sudden I'm standing stock still by my neighbor's mailbox, you know, and just hoping that the dog will become disinterested in me, right? And so that's really helpful in the moment with the rabid dog. But again, that's not flourishing. You know, that's not walking along through my neighborhood, enjoying the beautiful day, God's creation, maybe my spouse, maybe my child, maybe a friend on this walk with me. I'm not in the green zone anymore. Suddenly I've been separated and relegated to these survival modes.
You know, I'm starting to think about culture today and where we find ourselves. And in the midst of all the chaos and the acts of terror that are surrounding us, not just in this country, but around the globe, I think there's a lot of people, Dr. Gill, that live in fear.
That's right, Sam.
I know that I remember going through an audience once, and I was walking with my dad, and there was a pastor up there in the pulpit, and he started yelling, 75%. And we caught our attention, right? And he said, 75% of Christians, but they live in fear.
Yeah.
And I would say this, because of the last several weeks as of this recording, I mean, that percentage has probably skyrocketed into the 90s, right? There's a lot of fear around us. And so then the question comes into those that are operating or living perpetually in the red or blue zones. Mm-hmm. They want to ask the question, how do we get back to the green? How do we restore connection to God? How do we put trust in Him? How do we bring people around us? And we actually restore trust in others when we've been hurt and wounded in relationship ourselves.
Right.
I'd love to hear just you unpackaging the book a little bit more and giving us some next steps to get us back on track to get to the green zone.
Yeah, awesome. So I think of 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind.
Yes.
And that sound mind is the place of flourishing. That sound mind is that created space that God always intended for us, connected to Him, connected to others. And if you look at scriptures, you know, we don't have a ton of time to unpack all of this, but from the Old Testament through the New Testament, we're looking at being in the present moment, in the peace, presence, and provision of the Lord, right? And then we need our minds renewed. So what we're trying to do is return to that Eden space, that Eden habitation, the green zone, which we were originally created for. And in this day and age, as in all of recorded history, you know, we need that. We have our fight, flight, freeze responses. Yeah. And so Jesus came so that we could be freed from the power of sin, but we still live in these earthly vessels, you know, these vessels that are made of clay. And so we need specific tools, I believe. You know, first Jesus saved us, He redeemed us, so that's the starting point. But then we still need, I think, specifically crafted tools and interventions that we can ground ourselves in and point to. So I've created a couple of those in the green zone. I'm looking forward to talking to you about that. But they're all rooted in attachment principles and in the neuroscience, the way we understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, made for flourishing, not made for languishing.
My dad, obviously, he respects and he admires you and your work so much. He talked to me before we even jumped on that call several weeks back, and he said, this is one of the preeminent scholars on attachment. And so I would love to go there for a second, because people might not understand attachment framework. They may not fully understand the attachment styles that can stem out of that, because this really helps shape how and why we do and we love and we think the way that we do.
Yeah.
If you would, just give us a little bit of a gloss over of what is attachment theory and what are maybe some of the styles that can stem from a framework that we develop early in life.
Yeah, so I think a good simple word to begin to think about attachment is connections. So from the moment that we're born, while we were in utero, we were connected.
Yes.
Then we need to be literally disconnected, you know, at birth, and the umbilical cord is severed. But in that moment, suddenly we're panicked. You know, the bright lights are hitting us, the atmospheric temperature is different. So what do we need? We need to be instantly held, skin to skin, and that soothes our nervous system. It helps us to regulate. We need that tender touch, the soothing of our mom, of our dad. You know, pretty soon we need what I call the face-to-face gazing of the parent that helps them to know and understand what our needs are, really even non-verbally. Attachment is predominantly non-verbal. Mm-hmm. It's what we do even without words to communicate to other people two things. One is, you're not alone. I'm with you. And if you ever need me, you just run to me, and I've got you right here, right now. And the second thing is, I'm in your court, and I'm cheering you on to do everything that God has called you to do. So attachment is that bonding that starts in infancy, and it carries on throughout our lives. You can think about it. If you played sports, you know, your coach that's cheering you on, your trusted youth pastor that's encouraging you when you're down and you're discouraged. If you are able to be blessed to date and maybe to marry your spouse that's on your team, and then someday if you're able to have children of your own, you pass that back on again. So that's connections. That's attachment. That's what it's all about. It soothes the nervous system. It creates the flourishing and the growth of the mind, all of the verbal capacities and emotional capacities. It's all enveloped in that connection, that attachment bond.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, your host today, and my guest is Dr. Jesse Gill, a licensed psychologist with more than 20 years of experience in marriage and family therapy. We've been talking about his work with children, teens, and adults, and the unique challenges families face in navigating issues like anxiety, depression, and relational conflict. And we're unpacking his book, The Green Zone, today. Dr. Gill, you kind of have an acronym for CPR.
That's
you already
right.
alluded
That's
to
right.
the connections piece, but I now want to go into this idea of present moment focus, which helps protect us from the fear of the future, mm-hmm. or maybe the regrets from the past.
Exactly.
If you would, help us understand again how present moment focus can help us get back to the shelter and delight of Christ.
Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, the red zone is the fight or flight, which is I'm worrying about threats, often future threats. It's why we have such a fearful generation. We look at something awful or tragic or terroristic that happened, and our prescient minds can imagine into the future, that could happen again. It could yes. be me. It could be my family in the school shooting. So we have this terror about what could happen. We're looking into the future. We all make mistakes.
Yeah.
We've all that trust in Jesus have been forgiven, but we've all done things that we regret. And so we can beat up ourselves. You know, we can be ruminating and reflective on that. That's the blue zone, looking into the past. So the present moment is like this vacation
yeah.
between what could be and what has been. It's this gift to us, this present moment. That's why Jesus talked so much about it. You know, he talked often about take no thought for tomorrow, what you may eat and what you may wear, but consider the lilies of the field, consider the birds of the heavens. You know, your Father cares for them. There's no scarcity. There's no end to his loving kindness for all of us. So that ministers mm-hmm. to our fears for the future, and it ministers to us with our regrets for the past. Jesus says, come and be with me and join with me and notice God's creation. Notice that I am with you and I will be with you wherever you go, right? So
right.
so this is that present moment, and it's good. Like Jesus created us. He knew what we needed. So he was saying, this is where the mind optimally functions. This is optimization of the mind space in that present moment. And he says, come with me, be with me. You know, I'll meet you right there. That's the beauty of the present moment.
Yes,
so we've done C so far, which
That's
is
right.
connections,
That's
you
right.
know, knowing that somebody's got your back, somebody's cheering you on, and also encouragement. And then knowing that we also are called to the P, which is the present moment. So we've got C, P, and we're leaning in. Yeah.
You know, connection to me, we talked a lot about it already. It's this idea that resilience is rooted in relationship.
That's right.
Right. When we have power in partnership and
That's
comfort
right.
and courage and community,
That's
there's
right.
something that spurs us on. Everybody deserves somebody that's absolutely crazy about them.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the resilience theory.
That's right.
One to two individuals,
yeah.
safe individuals in
yeah.
your life
yep.
might be able to literally rewire your brain
That's right.
to the point where now you feel confident to step
yeah.
into a future of the unknown. So connection, present moment focus, like you just mentioned, was this
yeah.
idea that, man, we can let go of the past, we can let go of the future, because at the end of the day, a past is just something that it's chained to something that we can't change.
That's right.
Future is something that's already outside of our control.
That's right.
And so being able to be fully present in the moment,
yeah.
it really matters. But
yeah.
then the last one is the renewing of the mind.
That's right.
The CPR.
That's
and
right.
I'm thinking of so many verses come to mind, Dr.
Yeah.
Gill. 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive,
yeah.
make it obedient to Christ.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, noble, just, pure,
yeah.
lovely, admirable.
Mm-hmm.
If anything is excellent or praiseworthy,
yeah.
think on these things.
Yeah.
Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
But it's like, what does that mean? What does that look like? How do we do that?
It's going to fundamentally look like moving away from scarcity mindsets and survival mindsets, where I'm just like back to Eden. I take matters into my own hands,
yeah.
and that's the sin nature. That's what's been wired into us. And moving away from that scarcity survival mindset over to attachment to God
mm.
and believing that he cares for me and believing that I can trust in him. Now, this is easier for us to do if we had secure attachment as kids, if we had a parent who was dialed into us and there for us in distress and encouraging us as we launched, it's easier for us to believe that God is there for us. Your dad pioneered work about God attachment years ago, and we spoke about different childhood experiences and how they map out on our understanding and our capacity to more quickly engage mm-hmm. with this trust and dependence on God.
Mm-hmm.
But we all need to do that because we're all fundamentally wired with these survival tendencies. And so our original mindset, just because of the sin nature, needs to be renewed.
Yeah.
And then we all have maybe more specific scarcity types that course through us, through our brain and through our heart and our gut, based on anxieties and hurts that we went through as kids. So God fundamentally, I believe, wants to renew all of that. And then this is some of the gift of people helpers,
yes.
that we can be literally the hands and feet of Christ to say, I've got you. You know, that resiliency model you were talking about, a people helper, a counselor, a coach, a psychologist could be that person who says, I'm with you and I've got you and Jesus loves you and I'm doing it nonverbally.
Yes.
Right. And that's part of how we together renew our mind. It's not only the scripture is vital, and I'm so thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit because he breathes fresh into that. Amen. And maybe touches on places that we got hurt as kids and places that we need this literal kairos moment, like right here, right now. But also he works through the hands and feet of, you know, the troops on the ground, you and I.
Yes.
and friends and coaches and family to help renew that and rewire in this felt experience that it is possible. You don't have to walk through life alone. Yes. You can trust me and you can trust God to take care of you.
Amen. You know, I'm glad that you brought up this idea in the space of God attachment because clearly dad kind of invested that a lot into my life.
Yes,
and now
yes.
As I've done my own research on it, a lot of what they chat about are the correspondence and compensation hypothesis in that space. Mm-hmm. The correspondence hypothesis is that obviously if we grew up and a lot of our view of God comes from our view of self and our view of parents and attachment.
Yep,
so
yep.
Again, these different attachment styles. Of course, we want to land in that secure base, kind of that green zone.
That's right.
But then there's that avoidant, that ambivalent, that disorganized space, the insecure attachment styles. A lot of times, if I grew up in a home where my parents maybe were neglectful, they weren't showing up, they were emotionally unavailable, I might view God through that same lens, and that view of God will be carried over time. That's the correspondence hypothesis.
Yep, yep.
But the compensation hypothesis is that if we can have a trusted relationship with God, a lot of your book is about delighting in him.
Yes.
If I can delight in God and I can see him as a safe space, as a shelter of the Most High,
that's right.
Then I actually might be able, he can almost be viewed as like a parental attachment figure
in
my life.
That's right.
And so I'd love for you just to touch on who our God is for a moment, because my dad and I, we've been praying about this event for a long time, and something that we've been praying is that when the attendees leave, that they wouldn't rejoice because of what happened here.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually rejoice because they have a more full understanding of who God is.
Yes.
So speak to who our God is, the delight, the shelter that we can find in him, so that way we can truly find the protection, provision, and peace in this green zone of life.
Yeah, we love because he first loved us. He created us for love. He created us for connections. He always intended us to be flourishing with him in the Eden space. And then when we chose to walk away, he's communicating to us throughout the entirety of scripture saying, basically, come back, come back. You know, and he's guiding us and he's shaping us. And there's beautiful language that's his heart for us, like the delight piece. He dances over us with singing, you know.
Yes.
If you had a dad who was joyful and he goofed around and he cracked jokes and he danced with you and you know in the living room, you have an image for that. If you didn't, you know, that might be harder for you to understand. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Apostle Paul talks about that God doesn't neglect us. He's there for us with what we need emotionally in our times of need. He's there for us. So God wants to impart that to us. He wants to infuse that in us, that he is greater than all of the troubles and the tribulations that we see around us. He is our anchor. He's our hope. He's our rock. He's our resting place. All of scripture is doing that. And then it's not just, you know, thoughts and ideas. He literally rends heaven and earth, and he sends his only son to be in that space, to bridge the gap so we wouldn't have disconnection with God.
Yes.
So this is his heart, and then when we participate through worship, through the word, and through sacrament, he is literally renewing our minds.
Yes.
He is, we have this concept in neuroscience called neuroplasticity.
Yes.
Regardless of what you've been through, it's never too late. As long as you're breathing, you can rewire new pathways in your brain. I had a fun conversation with one of my pastor friends a couple weeks ago about how the act of confession is literally this moment, individually or corporately, where we say, I'm turning away from survival strategies, sin and vices, and any, you know, sins of omission, and I'm turning to you this act of faith. It's an experiential posture that I'm taking. I want to receive. And even in that act, I'm rewiring my brain away from scarcity, away from self-reliance and dependence to God dependence, God reliance.
Amen. You know, true peace is only found in his presence.
That's right.
Even in the midst of our
pain.
That's
right.
my dad and I, we've been wrestling back and forth with that idea from the book of Hosea in chapter 2, and he spoke about it on opening night right here, mm-hmm. the valley of Achor, right? Yeah. Even in a valley of suffering, yes. even in the midst of great hardship yes. And grave pain, there's this idea that when we return to the Lord, mm-hmm. as you're mentioning, when we delight in him as he delights in his children, mm-hmm. that a door of hope will be spread wide mm-hmm. unto
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And so it's that recognition. Let us continue to return to the Lord.
Yes.
And let us see him in the midst of the monotonous, painful moments of life, mm-hmm. because we don't just have to pray that he shows up. He already lives there, Dr.
That's,
Gill.
That's right.
So seeing him more and more. To all of our audience members out there listening, be sure to check out the incredible work that Dr. Jesse Gill is continuing to do. And while you're at it, you can pick up a copy of his new book, The Green Zone, at facetofaceliving.com on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Again, The Green Zone, embracing the power of God's attachment design to restore our souls. Come to The Green Zone, a re-inhabiting of the Garden of Eden, a place of flourishing where you will surely find rest for your mind, for your body, and for your spirit. Dr. Gill, on behalf of my dad and co-host Dr. Tim Clinton, thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.